This is Jessica Urbino, Vice President of Content for New Hope Network, and I recently spoke with the team at Thrive Market, Christine McKerney, Senior Director of Merchandising for Home Health and Beauty, and Jason Bedart, Vice President of Merchandising for Food. We talked about the changing consumer values that are shaping the CPG industry today. We talked about Thrive's vision for creating a more responsible and sustainable CPG ecosystem. And we talked about how the retailer is telling these important stories about how companies are affecting positive change in the world. Let's hear what Christine and Jason had to say.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the Senior Director of Merchandising here at Thrive Market. As Michelle mentioned, for home health and beauty categories. I've been here for 7.5 years, so I've been through a lot with Thrive Market, a lot of exciting growth over the years. And I have an amazing team of category managers who manage our brand partnerships, as well as product innovators who do our product development for own brands. All the magic happen at the end of the day. So very excited to be here, and I'll pass it to Jason to introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Jason. I'm the Vice President of Merchandising for Food at Thrive Market. I've been here for a little over 2 years now, but I've been in the retail industry, grocery retail industry, for almost 20 years now, going all the way back to bagging groceries and mopping floors and blocking shelves. But I, just like Christine, I have a similar team on the food side. So a team of category managers that are working with our brand partners and deciding what goes on our website from a third party perspective. And then the product innovators that are actually developing products for our private label. And my job is to make sure the two teams are working very closely together to build a very curated and cohesive catalog.
Well, thank you both for sharing and letting us know how you support this amazing model that is Thrive Market. I mean, I remember when Thrive launched, and to see all of that growth and all of the amazingness that has happened there is really exciting. So one of the things that we love about Thrive is how stringent the product vetting standards and product vetting process and standards are. Can you share background on how these standards were established, how they evolve, and why they're so important to Thrive's work?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, from day one, we knew that we really wanted to be mindful throughout the entire supply chain. So not only like what the ingredients are, but how are they being made and where are they coming from? So when we launched Thrive Market, we really launched the best in class natural brands, organic brands, and put the stake in the ground pretty early on that we were only going to allow non-GMO food. We were not going to allow artificial colors, flavors, preservatives, sweeteners, et cetera. And over the years, we've just continued to add to that list. So we're always looking at our ingredient standards, doing audits. We do a lot of our own rigorous studying, no matter the category. So we have different standards set for different categories here at Thrive Market. We also really, really love to leverage our brand partner knowledge, because at the end of the day, those are the people we're working with. They're the experts, and we can learn a lot from them. And then our members actually really help guide us too, in terms of like, where are they concerned in terms of the ingredients they're seeing and products that they want to see Thrive Market hold to higher standards. In addition, we have our QA team, who's absolutely incredible. So they help us scrutinize every ingredient, to create those guidelines for the products so that we can make sure we're looking at everything before we allow anything on the site. And in terms of importance, I mean, it's literally our core mission, right? It's making healthy and sustainable living affordable and accessible for all Americans. So we want to make sure that we're putting in the work so that the products we sell aren't negatively impacting people or planet in any single way. So for us, it's like very much goes hand in hand. It's not just one arm of our business. It's our entire business model.
Well, thank you for breaking that down. It's really interesting to hear those multiple tiers of how you look at standards. And one thing that stands out to me is it is an ongoing process. Things are changing so rapidly in the CPG industry that you have to constantly be assessing ingredients and listening to your consumer, and that it's not like you do it once, you're done. So it's hard work, and we so appreciate the work that you put into that. And it's always great to see the companies that show up in your marketplace. Another aspect, like so many things in life, it's like an art and a science. And I think a lot of what you outlined was the science piece of what you do, Christine. But I also love how Thrive curates products and really tells companies stories. And back to that human piece that Spencer talked so much about, that's really prominent on your site. Why is storytelling such an important part of the Thrive strategy?
Yeah, I'll take that question, Jessica, and thanks. First off, we are a mission-driven retailer. We're also B Corp certified. So we find it really important to align with partners that are on that same mission journey that we are trying to fulfill. So with this alignment, there's always a story to be told in terms of the good and the amazing initiatives that our brand partners are working on. We wanna make sure that our members know that we are putting a lot of thought into the products that we're putting on site, and that when they are essentially voting with their dollars to buy these products, it's not only going to taste amazing or perform well, but their money is actually going to some sort of good, whether it be increasing awareness of any sort of racial injustice, or making sure that they are people forward, ethical sourcing ingredients, or switching to sustainable practices, or making improvements in the supply chain in categories that may historically not necessarily be clean supply chains. So we wanna make sure we're telling that story. Also, as Christina talked through our stringent standards and how we vet products, when a partner meets or exceeds those standards, there's always a story behind that. So they're doing something to really clean up the food system, clean up the supply chain, make efforts in sustainable farming practices, or switching over to regen practices, or doing lots of good in the community and for people in the planet. So we want to make sure our members know those stories, and that the products that they're buying are really fulfilling a higher mission than just filling their pantry and filling their stomachs and being really good products.
Thank you, Jason. And it really strikes me that a lot of those stories that you talked about are how these companies are really solving major problems. And that ties to obviously our topic here today, purpose-led innovation, and also just innovation in general. I think we're really seeing the definition or perceptions of that changing as people are looking for products and companies that solve real problems. What does innovation mean to you both and to your team at Thrive? How do you look at innovation?
Yeah, it's definitely challenging the status quo. So like you were just stating, what are the key problems that exist in our industry or in the CPG market generally? And aiming to create a solution, again, that is better for people and planet. I know Spencer used the same words too. So clearly that's a major theme for all of the retailers and brands here. But how can you break the conventional mold and not do things a certain way just because they've always been done that way? And like we saw with a lot of the trends, that can show up in a lot of different ways. So that could be through supply chain. So how do you upcycle ingredients to eliminate food waste that exists in the industry today? How can we start working more directly with farmers in the supply chain? On the packaging front, you know, plastic reduction, refillable vessels, actually recyclable versus hard to recycle. And then also product formats. So waterless, or making things that are typically heavy, how can you make those lighter weight to help with shipping and carbon emissions? So it really ties to a lot of different buckets where we can see innovation in a product. But again, it's really just thinking through, like, how can you challenge what's already been done and make it better for the people out there and for the planet at the end of the day.
Thank you, Christine. And I want to note that our other retailers are in the background putting in the chat, like clapping hands and like, yes. So there's obviously so much alignment around this idea of finding companies that really use innovation to challenge the status quo and make real impactful changes. So thank you for sharing that. And let's talk a little bit about what that means for brands. I know that there are brands here today that are thinking, how can we get in front of Thrive and how can we get noticed by Thrive? So what are some of the things that you and your teams look for in new products and companies? Like, how can they get your attention?
Yeah, so I'll take that question, Jessica. And I will say that we with the stringent standards and with how strict we scrutinize products, while we are extremely, I'd say, picky about products, like we do make the effort to look at everything and make sure that we're giving it a once over and we're doing our members a service by looking at all these products and not being too microscopic. But first and foremost, they do have to meet our standards. We're never going to compromise on the quality standards and our ingredient standards. We want to make sure that we are upholding those first and foremost. So that's looking at everything from the actual ingredients themselves, whether they're coming from non-GMO sources, if it's animal products, the animal welfare behind it, and how they're treated in if antibiotics or hormones, are they added to the growing process? So first and foremost, meeting those standards. And then second, we start to ask questions around how does this company align with our mission and how are we going to continue to push our mission through the products that we're selling? We know that we are only one company, but we can do a lot more good when we start to partner with those that are very much aligned with us. So we're going to ask questions. A lot of the times our category managers aren't just meeting with sales reps, but they're also meeting with founders, they're meeting with CEOs, they're meeting with those that are very close to the founding of the company, why they were found, what's the purpose of the brand. So they're getting the whole backstory before we start making product decisions. And then we'll start to look into items like, or questions like, are they filling opportunity gaps within our assortment? Are they filling a need or solving an issue that our members are looking for most, whether it be dietary or looking at cleaner supply chains, looking at more sustainable sourcing, looking at more sustainable packaging, more sustainable manufacturing practices, using renewable energy. And of course, the piece of where the ingredients are coming from. Is there a switch to regenerative agriculture within the supply chain? So really trying to give back to people and planet, how do the brands really align with our mission? And then we start to ask the category management questions and the more sales related questions, so to speak, of how well is it going to do within the category? Is it going to fit within our margin requirements, things like that? But first and foremost, we're really vetting the product and the partner to see how well it's going to fit with us.
I really appreciate that eye toward a true long-term partnership. And I think that there's a depth there that's really important for brands to hear. Thank you so much, Jason. Quick fire round, one trend that each of you are looking for before I turn it back over to Michelle. So one trend that's on your radar, Christine, and then Jason.
Oh my gosh, that's so hard to say one.
I know.
I think for us, spans all categories on my side for home health and beauty is waterless or water reducing formats. So concentrates, tablets, sheets, bars. That's something for us that we're looking to expand in our assortment and something we're focused on.
Waterless. Love it. Thank you, Christine. Jason.
It's really hard also on the food side for one, but I will say it's been mentioned quite a bit. Upcycling is definitely one that is on the growth for us and one that we're watching. We dabbled in upcycling for quite some time now, and it's taken some time to actually catch on, but it's great to see that now it is at the forefront of the conversation. So it's definitely one for us to watch. And as we continue to look at partners, definitely looking for more products that are utilizing upcycling. So.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Christine. We'll chat more in a few minutes. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.